The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning with the 9th chapter. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of healing, every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples, and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These twelve Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no towns of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without pain, give without pay. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy to you all from God, our Heavenly Father, and his dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is based on the gospel lesson for today, which is recorded from the Gospel of Matthew, and I would like to read to you selected verses beginning with chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." This is our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. First of all, I would be amiss if I didn't wish all the fathers, grandfathers, those who have father roles with children and relatives, neighbors, people in their community, wherever you have that very special relationship, and responsibility with the children of our community. Today's sermon is entitled, "Our Father and Our Dad." You know, the Lord refers to himself and his Heavenly Father using different words. In fact, when I was studying Hebrew, I found out there were some words to talk about God and our Father that you couldn't even use. There were words that were so holy, so blessed, so precious, people knew without even uttering it. It was one of those things in which had to do with the relationship that you had with our Heavenly Father. In my own household, I had a father who at times I knew I was in trouble when my mother would say, "You just wait till your father comes home." Those were times in which I tried to make myself scarce, try to avoid him, because I know he was not looking for me when my mother already set it up to say, "Your father will deal with you when he gets home." And yet there were times in which either my mom or other times in my life in which he was referred to as the loving, caring individual who always was there to show tenderness, words of encouragement, and words of hope and direction. I can remember special times when my dad would come out to a very football game in which I was playing in high school. And I can remember the pride that I would see in him when I would make a successful play as a tackle. Or the comment he would give to me after reading an article that appeared in the school paper. Or things in general that showed his loving and tenderness to me and others in our community. There was a special friend of mine who was a person who lost his father at a very young age and looked to my father to be his special dad. In fact, all through life, he would invite him to special occasions, birthdays, graduations, and other things in his life. I can remember when he graduated from high school. And my dad came to the graduation, and when he had received his diploma, welcomed him like he was his own flesh and blood. That's a very special relationship that we can have with certain men who again take on those fatherly roles to again show their love and concern for the children of their community. Here in our text for today, we see Jesus talking about our father and our dads. He talks about the responsibility that we have to our children, to care for them, to love them, to teach them, and to show them what they are to do in order to receive the full blessing and potential of God, our Heavenly Father. Now remember, as we look at God's word, this charge came to the disciples not to go throughout all the world and to evangelize, but particularly to go to the people of Israel, the people who for so many years had a very special relationship with God, who again were the chosen one. The one who God had selected to be the special people to receive God's blessing and his forgiveness. Now, this was important because, again, God wanted his first and foremost children to realize the special inheritance, the special gift, the thing that God wanted them to understand why they were chosen to be this special group of people, to care for them. And he knew it wasn't easy. He knew they would be harassed, that they would be picked on, that they would need someone to reach out and to care for them and to love them in this very special way. So as Jesus goes about his ministry, he reminds them, his selected leaders, his selected disciples, that they needed to use the word of God to make a difference first and foremost to the chosen people of Israel, to let them know that God hadn't abandoned them, that God didn't leave them alone, that God didn't send for them leaders or to be rudderless in the ocean, not knowing which direction they needed to go into, but to know that they were the chosen, the one who had come to again share God's word, his peace, and his caring with all the world. God continues, even today, as we find ourselves in a similar situation without a shepherd, thinking at times, when will one come? He said the list would be here by mid-June. How long can we maintain our sanity, maintain our purpose, maintain our direction without feeling his presence or knowing that he is coming at least in a conceivable amount of time? We are not rudderless. We have not been abandoned. God is still present in our lives. Even though I'm not the called, ordained, permanent pastor to the church, but every Sunday you do have a shepherd who stands before you to proclaim God's word, to teach you and to help you understand that God is present. He does care for us. He does love us, and he is not only our Father, but our loving Dad. Thanks be to God that we, unlike others in our community, have that feeling, have that blessing, have that gift that God provides for us. But let's face it, there are still many who have drifted from the church, have left the fold, who feel that they are not loved and cared for, have walked away from their baptismal vows, who have found false gods and false beliefs in things other than the Word of God. But yet, for those who stand in the knowledge and the belief that God is always faithful, it's our responsibility to continue to proclaim that word, to make a difference, to be that witness in the light of those who, for the temporary time, still sit in darkness, looking for direction, looking for relief, looking for a time in which they can feel that peace and that joy. At one time, I have to admit, I was jealous of the love and the caring that my dad would give to others. And at times, I felt that he didn't love me as much as he may have loved everybody else. But one of the things that I remember to this day that my mother said to me just before she died. She says, your father, your dad, may not always show it in words or in acknowledgments as much as you would like him to, but he does love you and he does desire you to love and to care for him. And one thing that you can do for me when I'm no longer here, she said, is to again be more demonstrative, be more caring, show more hugs, love. You know, I remember early on, and that's something that a memory that I didn't gain again until later on in life, that my father, who always left the house first to go to work when he worked at the Navy base in Philadelphia, used to come in with his coffee breath to wake me up and to give me a kiss goodbye. And I would just groan, why is this man waking me up? And then he was not one who showed much hug and more candidness. We occasionally do that. But my mother reminded me, show your love, show your caring as you guys care and love one another in this time. And I still remember it. Every time I would see my dad, when I would visit him, or when he would come down and visit us, there always was a time for hugging, for caring, for kissing, for showing love that I respected, cared, and appreciated all that he has done in my life and what he continued to do for our family. Even when my son Bill died, he was there for the family and particularly for his grandchild to show that love and that care for this little 18-month-old girl who cared, who loved, who came to him in a way looking for a substitute dad to care for her in her time of anxiety and trouble. Father's Day is more than just remembering our dads, but remembering the opportunities that we still have to show that love and caring to the thousands of people in our lives, in our community, that need to feel that compassion, that love, and that caring in their lives. Yes, this is a day of celebration. This is the day to certainly make sure that if your dad is still alive, to make sure he hears from you more than just a card, but again, a voice. If he isn't, then to again, in prayer, give thanks to God for the caring and the love that he bestowed upon you and all those relationships that came his way. And to know that the Lord does provide shepherds, not only in our lives here on earth, but also as he leads us to his everlasting and caring kingdom. And finally, there are still others in our world, in our community, that need to feel our love and our compassion and our leadership as we lead and direct them and show how much God has blessed us and loved us, that now our role is to care and to love all who are in God's everlasting arms. We thank the Lord for our fathers. We thank the Lord for our loving dads. And we thank the Lord for providing us the opportunity to share in that relationship as God has continued to share in that very special way, a loving and caring and leading all of his children. The best way that we can celebrate this day as dads and as fathers is to again to use that same love to the people and to the relationship that God directs in our way, to be caring, loving, and compassionate people who again are loved by the best, the greatest shepherd of all, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us, cares for us, and continues to remind us that in his arms we find security, we find safety, we find everlasting love and a blessing through our Heavenly Father, who blessed us, who keeps us, and helps us to be his faithful children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the blessing of Almighty Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us and keep us forever. Amen.